And I'd invite you to open to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. I'd invite you to stand as we read just this one verse this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. Here the Word of God tells us, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Father, we're grateful for this passage of Scripture and the things we can learn from it. Be with us this morning that we might learn the things you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. When we were on vacation last week, as I mentioned in Sunday school, there's a birthday party that Amy and I like to go to. It'd be Chloe, our 4-year-old now granddaughter. Well, the other grandparents also come, our son-in-law's mom and dad, and we always have good fellowship with them. We get along really well. And they've lived kind of a nomadic type life, not staying in any place a real long period of time, just the nature of his work. But they had spent some time in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And they were at a church that was a tremendous church. I have been there. When Anna graduated from Pensacola Christian College, we actually spent the night at their house. They were gracious enough to allow us to spend the night, and then we went to church with them on Sunday for the church services, and really a tremendous church. Well, that was a number of years ago, back, I think it was 2006, somewhere in that neighborhood. And he's been, I think he's in like his fifth job since then, but the job he's at right now is back in the Atlanta area, roughly the same area he lived in back at that time. And so they went back to this, well, they checked other churches as well because they had changed pastors. And they had difficulty finding a church that they were comfortable in. And they wound up back where they were before, and they enjoy it. But as we were talking this past weekend, he was telling me that things are beginning to change. And especially, his wife was telling us it's just breaking her heart because they don't know where they're going to go to church. Now, Atlanta has a lot of churches, but to find a church that they're comfortable in. Now, the question has to be answered. What type of a church are they comfortable in? They're comfortable in a church like ours. Now, the area that's changing in their church right now is they no longer use hymn books. Now all the words to the songs are on a drop-down screen. Now, is there anything wrong with that in and of itself? And the answer to that is no, there isn't. I don't like it. I would try not to attend a church like that because I would feel robbed because I like to sing the bass note. And I wouldn't know the bass note on the songs being sung. And so, intrinsically, in itself, there's nothing wrong with the words being on the screen. But what they're noticing is that they are getting away from the hymns. And that's step number two in changing the music of a local church from conservative to basically anything goes. You start using the screen, people get accustomed to the screen, and when it's only the screen and not the words, you can all of a sudden start slipping in some other songs that people aren't familiar with, but are what we would call CCM, contemporary Christian music. In other words, Christian rock. And then it's not long before the piano and the organ have dust covers on them, if they're even left in place, and the keyboard, the bass guitar, and the electric guitar and the drum set take over. And the music is completely different. Now, it's a process that takes a number of years. They're actually, in certain Bible colleges, are teaching this strategy on how to take a church like ours. They're teaching it to pastoral candidates to take a church like ours in the music program and convert it to a rock and roll church. And they're afraid, and I believe they have justified concerns, they're afraid that their church is following that road. And they're just beside themselves. They just don't know what to do. And they're not just the kind of people that come in on Sunday morning and sit on their hands. They're people that get involved in the ministry. Because of that conversation, I decided to come here to Colossians chapter 3 this morning and just simply see God's guide to music. God's guide to music. Now, the music that he describes here in Colossians 3:16 is our church music, but it's also our personal music. Because generally, our personal music is what our church music desires become. And so it's important that we listen to the right music for many different reasons. But let's look at three things here in God's guide to our music. The first thing we notice here in Colossians 3:16 is that he doesn't start with music. Now, he's talking about music, but he starts with something else. What is it that he gives that place of primacy or importance? It's God's Word. He begins Colossians 3:16 by saying, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." The first thing we find is the importance of the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us, by being listed first, its importance because it guides us in all areas of our Christian walk. Do you realize there's a lot of songs out there that are very popular that are called Christian songs that are contrary to what the Word of God teaches? Is that the kind of song that a Christian ought to be singing? False doctrine. We'll talk more about that later in the verse because God addresses that. But the Word of God needs to have first place in our lives. When the Word of God has first place, then it begins to change our lives and we're willing to conform. Music is one of the most touchy areas for a pastor to preach on. And a lot of pastors, because of that, shy away from it. I'm just not that smart. I just preach on it anyway because I believe it's important. And I believe God believes it's important too, and that's why I do this. The Word of God is the most important part of your Christian music. That you're surrendered to what the Word of God tells us. That we have a heart that's yielded to God because we don't like to be told what we can and can't listen to. Now, I grew up in an unsaved home. And my mom and dad used to not appreciate the things I listened to. But you know what? That didn't stop me. Didn't stop me at all. Now, if you ask my mom and dad, I was a pretty good kid. I just was able to fake it pretty good. But I didn't want anybody telling me what I could and couldn't listen to. And that's the way people are. I remember working in the print shop. And I talked from time to time about two of my friends. We were pretty close. Got along really well. Worked together a lot of years. Steve and Joe. But I remember the day, and I can see it as if it happened this morning, where I thought they were literally going to beat me up. Honestly. The anger in their eyes and on their face and their body posture. I thought I had crossed the line with those two fellas. You know what it was about? They wanted to listen to their music. And I wouldn't let them. And they were so mad at me. Now, the company policy was no music. But they would look the other way as long as nobody complained. And I complained. They turned it off. 5 minutes later, they turned it back on. So I walked over and unplugged it. They didn't like that. I don't understand why. I've always been this way, haven't I? But yielded. We don't like to yield in certain areas of our Christian walk. And music is one of those big areas. And that's, I believe, why God shows us, first of all, the importance of God's Word as He's displaying for us the primacy of the Word of God when it comes to every area of our Christian life, including our music that we listen to, whether it be in the church setting, or whether it be in the car, or whether it be in the home. Everything we listen to has to be strained through the funnel of the Word of God. Because the Word of God will impact us. And so we see the impact of God's Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The idea of dwelling in us is giving it the opportunity to change our lives and to have an impact and change things for the better for Christ. The primacy of God's Word comes first in any discussion in music. Look down in verse number 17. Does your music meet the standard? And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I haven't listened to a lot of CCM, the modern Christian music. Contemporary Christian music, contemporary just means being written in our lifetime, in our era, or currently, the current music. And they gave it that title. I've told you this before, because they knew if they titled it Christian rock, it wouldn't have sold. And they're in it to make money. And so they invented the name contemporary Christian music. Did you know there's a lot of contemporary Christian music being written today that's good music? Do you know who wrote that song you sang? Abigail Miller. Did you know she's still alive? She's not dead and in heaven yet. She is writing excellent contemporary Christian music. So not all CCM, with the ordinary meaning of that word, is bad. But CCM is a genre of music that just simply means Christian rock music, whether it be hard rock or soft rock. Most of it's soft rock, but nevertheless, there's still that hard rock. And we're not even going to get into that. That's a whole other sermon, the carnality of it all. But does that music glorify the Lord? Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't think a lot of what they sing glorifies Him, because the little bit I've heard, it uses a lot of hymns and words like that. I mean, hymn, not H-Y-M-N, but H-I-M. It doesn't talk about Jesus very often. It doesn't talk about God very often. Now, I have to confess, the first date Amy and I went on, where was it at, Amy? Testing her memory, she knows. Amy Grant. How many of you ever heard of Amy Grant? We went to an Amy Grant concert. We'd only been saved a short time. We were just spiritual babes. We didn't know any better at the time. And because we wanted to live for Christ, we listened to the local Christian radio station. They'll destroy your faith, I'll guarantee you. If you listen to Christian radio, you ought to turn it off. Find something good. You can get inexpensive recording devices. Your phone probably does it if you don't know it. And you can, on a newer car, you can plug it into your car's audio system and listen to good radio, abidingradio.com, the best there is. There's others out there, but abidingradio.org. I'm sorry, abidingradio.org is the best there is. And you can listen to it anywhere and everywhere. But anyway, when I listened to the local Christian radio station. I believe she did. And they played a lot of Amy Grant. Now, we're talking back in 1980. Played a lot of Amy Grant. And I liked Amy Grant's music. And I had listened to the songs. I think, man, this is such a good song glorifying God. Then we went to the concert. And she introduced each song she sang. To my shock, not a single song she wrote was about God. Not a one. They were all about different people in her life. Every last song. But they're on Christian radio. And you are so indoctrinated by the CCM ways that when you hear him, you're assuming it's talking about Jesus or she's talking about God. No, they're not. Some of them are, but you wouldn't know it. They sing love songs that you can just put your spouse's name in there and it would fit. That's contemporary Christian music. The Bible tells us, again, the primacy of the Word, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. These 7-11 songs, 7 phrases, 11 times, is just a standard phrase for these choruses and these songs that's a part of CCM that says absolutely nothing in their content. They just make you feel good. And they make you tap your toes. And they make you want to dance. And so people are out there dancing with their Christian sway dance. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Because those kind of songs are going to destroy your Christian life. They will suck the life right out of you spiritually. And you won't even know it. Well, he moves from the Word of God, the primacy of the Word, to the purpose of the music. Two purposes listed for us here. And these are important. In that we need to run all our music through these filters. First of all, teaching. Teaching. What is it to teach? It means to impart knowledge. I love that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. That's one of my favorite songs because I just like the words of that last verse. Now, the words of all the verses are good about going to God in prayer, but that last verse, when we bid that sweet hour of prayer goodbye because we're on our way to heaven. Boy, that gets exciting to me. I don't know about you, but the thought of heaven and not having to worship God by faith, but being able to worship God by sight, that's exciting to me. And to sing about this and be taught that message in word and in music and in song. And so many songs in our hymn book are just of that nature, teaching us who God is, teaching us about our salvation and the security that we can have and the salvation in the blood of Christ. Teaching, imparting knowledge, so important. But so many songs that go by the name of Christian teach nothing. Teach nothing. God says they don't meet the criteria. They don't meet the criteria of the Word of God. And that, as we saw, is our ultimate filter, because when God was going to talk about music, He chose to show us the primacy of His Word. The second purpose of music is admonishing. Now, if I were to ask you to define admonishing, we'd probably have a pretty difficult time. So here's what I did. I went into my dictionary. The word admonish has three primary meanings. All three of them are a little bit different, but all three of them are very applicable to our music. And this is a filter. First filter is teaching. It doesn't have to do anything else. As long as it teaches Bible doctrine, God says it's all right. Go ahead and listen to it or sing it. The second filter is that of admonishing. The first meaning of admonishing is to caution or warn against. To caution or warn against. The second meaning of this word admonish is to reprove or to scold. Now, none of us like that. And yet, there are songs out there, though in these two definitions, there aren't a lot in these two categories or that would meet this filter, to caution or warn, or to reprove or scold. But nevertheless, there are songs out there, and they meet the criteria of the Word of God. The third meaning to the word admonish means to urge to duty. To urge to duty. You know, there's a lot of songs in our hymn book and that are being written today among good contemporary Christian songwriters that are urging us to duty. I think of Throw Out the Lifeline. If you've been here long and you've heard me sing a special, you know that's one of my favorite songs. Throw Out the Lifeline. It's talking about getting the gospel to those that need to hear it. That's urging us to duty. It meets the filter that God has put in His Word of admonishing. The purpose of music isn't a big deal. It's not to cause us to feel good about ourselves. It's not to cause us to want to dance to the music or tap our toe. It's not what our personal choice in music might be, but the purpose of the music is to teach and admonish. You know what is missing, which becomes the main criteria of almost every person, whether they're saved or lost? The style. Think about this for a minute. The style. You see, we choose what music we like by what it sounds like, by the melody, which today is more the rhythm. The melody is supposed to be primary. And that, again, is a whole other sermon. that I've preached before about the different parts of music. You have melody, you have harmony, and you have rhythm. Rhythm is the basis part of the music. It's that which appeals to the flesh. It's a necessary part of the music and in itself is not wrong. But when the rhythm takes the primary spot in the music, it is carnal. What does the Bible tell us in John chapter 4, verse, 24? Worship God in spirit and in truth, not in the flesh. Music that is has the rhythm as a dominant part of the music is the flesh. Appealing to the flesh. That is the majority of Christian music today. That is why I will not listen to Southern gospel music. I know I may be stepping on toes, and I know if you go into different Christian ministries and big churches and famous preachers, man, they would hate me for saying that. But the emphasis in most of today's Southern gospel music is the rhythm. It's the flesh. It does not appeal to the spirit. And again, Southern gospel music is a whole other message. You study the people involved in Southern gospel music, and you will be shocked. I'll guarantee you, you will be shocked by their testimonies and their lifestyles. If you're a spiritual Christian, it shouldn't matter. As long as it passes through the filter of the Word of God, remember that is the primary aspect of our music is the Word of God. As long as it passes through the filter of God's Word, it shouldn't matter what style it is. So many people won't go to a church because they sing the good old hymns like we sing them. They want to go to the rock and roll church. It's not because the words are different, but it's the way those words are sung. I remember just after I came here, there was a youth rally down in Columbus that I thought our young people would really enjoy, and they did enjoy it. But I didn't know of this church or of that pastor, and so I called down there and actually talked to the youth pastor who was organizing the youth rally. And I asked him about the music, and he said, "Oh, we're conservative." I said, "That sounds good." And he told me what songs they were singing. I thought, great, because those are songs that I'm familiar with, and they're good songs. When we got there, the first red flag was the drum set they hid behind the piano. It obviously didn't belong there because there wasn't room for a drummer back there. So they slid it out of sight. That was my first red flag. And then they sang those songs that I had been told would be sung, just as he said, they sang them, but I didn't recognize them. They were different than I had ever heard them sung before, and not in a good way. So you can take a good song and put it to the wrong music. And that's what a lot of churches are doing. It has to filter through the Word of God. And a lot of people are going to be bored by the music because they are addicted to the beat. I don't remember his name now. We had him here. He sang and shared God's word with us just after I got here. It was a brother of our pastor's wife just before we went into the ministry. He's a very gifted man musically. Nathan Pierpont. Earned doctorate in music. He's the one who first suggested it to me that the beat is addictive. The beat is the same as saying the rhythm is addictive. And that's why it is so hard, if you're listening to that type of music, that's why it is so hard to switch from that and listen to godly music. That's why it's so hard. You're addicted to the beat, just like the caffeine in your coffee, just like the nicotine in a cigarette, just like that those parts of the drugs that people use where they have difficulty giving it up. There's an addiction to it. That's why the Word of God is primary when it comes to your music. The primacy of the Word of God. Let it dwell in you richly. And then thirdly, the primacy of the Word, the purpose of the music. In this verse, he speaks of the proper attitude of the believer. The proper attitude of the believer. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He says, have the right attitude. Have a pure heart, a pure mind towards God. Now, I know I'm probably preaching to the choir because our music at our church has not gone contemporary. We've stayed, I call it traditional conservative, because there's a lot of people, pastors I know, that call their music conservative, and it is not conservative. But I don't ever want our church to change. I want us to continue to glorify God in our music program. I want us to worship in spirit and in truth. There's a lot of churches out there still holding the line. But as I said at the beginning of the message, I heard of a church that once was a tremendous, tremendous church that is no longer holding the line. Now, hear about this happening regularly, over and over again. What's the next church that's going to fall? I hope it's not Calvary Baptist Church of Bucyrus. The only way we can maintain that is when you get in your car this afternoon, when we leave. Don't worry, I won't preach that long. It should still be this morning. That we listen to the right music as a church family. That's the way it won't change. That we break that addiction to the rhythm and worship God, even in our music, in spirit and in truth. How's your music life been lately? How's your music life been? Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I know this isn't a popular message, but I believe, just as sure as I'm standing here, it's one of the most important messages a pastor could preach. So few are preaching, and so many churches are falling by the wayside. Father, help us to maintain a strong standard here at Calvary. But Father, you know there's only one way that's going to happen. If we'll yield our musical tastes and preferences to your Holy Spirit's promptings. Father, if we have a need in this area just now, Father, we pray that you convict us of the need to change. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.